Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
And a good Tuesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. Beautiful day. It's going to be a little nippy out, but it is fall. We're now past the midway point of the month of November. You know, Thanksgiving is just around the corner. Black Friday's just around the corner. The holidays are just around the corner, so it should be a little nip in the air. Darren McFarland down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is hanging with his crew over in East Nashville, and Chase McCabe and Sawyer out in Bellevue out there on the west side of town, while Elijah Campbell's back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios powered by RumbleOn.com. I remember before the Titans were getting ready to suit up against this team that wears an orange jersey. They've got a weird-looking C on their helmet, and I said, that team is a fraud. I watch them every single snap against the Saints, and they stink. Well, guess what? Nothing's changed from 3 weeks ago when I said that. That team is an absolute embarrassment on offense, and last night we had to suffer through a Bears-Vikings Monday Night Football game, in which, like I said, the Bears are a fraud. I said it 3 weeks ago. They're still a fraud today. They'll continue to be a fraud all year. They were the biggest joke at five wins that early in the season because they can't get anything done on offense. Dare I say the Jets may be more capable of putting stuff together on offense than the Bears? I don't know. That may be a bit extreme.
That could be a stretch.
Could be. Could be caught up in the moment. But they stink. 2 for 11, by the way, on third downs last night. They're awful. Awful, awful, awful. Nick Foles went down late in the game. I hope he's all right, but it didn't look good.
No.
Enter Tyler Bray, who actually completed a pass, which, you know, it's a weird concept for the Bears. Everybody was like, what just happened?
You know what's weird is they actually had a guy open one play. They could have won it.
Anthony Miller.
And that was that fourth down?
Yes. Fourth and nine.
I mean, that
with 2 minutes to go, just over 2 minutes.
If you could have put that on the money, maybe they pull that out.
It overthrows him.
It's just so crazy. And now all of a sudden, the Vikings, look at them. They've won three in a row. We know one of the losses was the Razor's Edge game to the Titans. It absolutely could have gone either way, and Steven Gostkowski won the game for the Titans. And, of course, the other game was the one where they decided to go for it and not go up by eight. And they lost the game to the Seahawks. So they're very close to having a much better record. Just shows you the difference between 6-3, 4-5 is so small.
Yep. We're going to play a little game a little bit later in the show that will just tell you how difficult it is, the Razor's Edge, because you look at these teams and you try to figure out who's better than who. And I don't know about if you guys did the exercise that I asked you to do that we're going to unveil and talk about a little bit later, but it's hard. It's hard to try to figure out who's really better than who once you get past what we'll talk about, right? It was, at least for me, it was hard. I was doing a lot of shuffling and crossing things out, and
did
a rough draft in pencil. I mean, it was. I'm like, I don't know if I feel good about that right there. Hold on, wait a minute. I don't know if I feel good about them there. It was not easy.
No, and that's on top of. I mean, I would assume that the teams with better records get the benefit of the doubt, unless you want to go sort of against the grain and say that somebody like Minnesota will end up in the top 10. But, you know, Minnesota, you could argue, might be playing better than some of the teams in the top 10. There's just so little difference right now with some of the teams like the Titans who have started off fast but are sagging a little bit. They've got weaknesses and other teams coming on.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this. I don't have the Titans in my top 10.
Don't be doing that. Don't.
Why not?
Because you're letting the cat out of the bag. Don't. Okay. I don't want any. We don't want any hints. We don't.
Okay.
Just save it. Save it. That's kind of a big nugget you just rolled out on the table.
I know.
I know the entire listening audience was right now was thinking.
They
does
just
Chase
threw,
have
I know.
The Titans
no,
in the top 10?
You know what they did? They just did a Lane Kiffin. They just threw their folder up in the air. And they're like, really?
Right, because they really wanted to know. And they were anticipating. They're like, I can't wait to reveal.
I can't wait for the reveal. You totally gave it away.
Well, you also didn't say what time this is going to happen.
Well,
our listeners want to know. When is this happening?
Well, look, it's part of the tease. It means stay with us. This is going to be good today. It's called a tease. You guys have been in the business
long enough.
You
just don't know when it's coming.
You know, it's a tease. Stay with us.
You're not
going to
let the audience know when it's coming?
Hang with us today on this Tuesday. It's going to be fun. Okay, we're going to have a lot of fun.
Sometime between 10:06 and
1:57. Yes.
Okay.
How about that for a tease? We're going to be just like the cable companies.
I like that.
We will unveil everything sometime between now and 1:57 p.m.
Well, we better start before 1:57.
Clear your schedule, just like the cable providers ask you to do. Just clear your day for us.
Just hang out.
Just hang out. We know you've got nothing better to do. We'll be there in 8 hours, somewhere in that window. Just hang with us. I did also see this. And I don't know how you guys feel about it. I will refrain from my comments till after I read it. I don't know if you saw, but the final round of the Masters, which was on Sunday, lowest rated since 1957, declining 51% from Tiger's win last year and 57% from 2018. And so, not good.
Well, easily predicted, though.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, different
going against the NFL.
Exactly. And they're like, we can't wait to get back to April.
The reason the sports calendar was the way it was. We spread things out across 12 months.
Which, by the way, have they said for sure are they going to return in April in 2021?
Yeah, I mean, they've pretty much indicated that.
But they have.
That's how it's scheduled right now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they're going, please let us be able to pull this off our normal time slot. But, yeah, no surprise. I mean, come on. You're going up against the NFL. They're never going up against the NFL. Dustin Johnson, I mean, hats off to him. I mean, he ran away with it, a record score. So it really wasn't, it wasn't like you were sitting there hanging on with every shot with Dustin Johnson, so he got it done. And like I said, a record Masters tournament for him. One other thing that I thought about when I watched it over the 4 days, how much do you think no gallery, no, because I've been there twice, and I think you guys have not been there, correct?
I've never been there.
But you get the vibe and the feel on television. And we've had enough guests on the show that talk about it. You know, the gallery screaming from afar and everybody turning their heads. What's going on over there? Oh, my gosh. Who just nailed a huge putt or who just nailed a huge shot? What's the leaderboard going to look like after whatever's going on two holes over? That serves as a distraction to these guys. And, oh, by the way, you know, that crowd can provide huge energy boost for some of these guys, right? They feed off of that. I wonder how much that played into the kind of the ho-hum, like, for 4 days and really a runaway, which usually it's not like that. I mean, how many times have we seen the big gag job on Sunday? And it's because the pressure gets to them, the gallery, right? Every hole is packed and they know there's going to be millions and millions of people watching and the galleries are loud and there's tons of energy at Augusta. And it just, hey man, some people can handle that. Some people soak that up and some people wilt. They crumble. And that stuff, and we see it all the time, but none of that was going on, so how much do we think that played into this year's Masters?
I think it's a good point. I didn't really think of it that way. I know Tiger did, Tiger and a few others said that it was certainly weird the first few rounds of not hearing the cheers, and that the biggest, I guess, difficulty with that was, you know, if you hit your ball and you can't see it, you know, the crowd a lot of times will tell you what happens. You know, tell you,
right.
where, you know, where it lands, or if it was a good shot and you didn't have that gauge because you couldn't hear people because nobody was there. Now, I know they, you know, they had, I guess, members or something that were around on the last day, but I think
but to your point, it wasn't the same. You're
no,
right.
No. It wasn't the same at all. And I think you make an interesting point of, did that change, you know, some of how the last day went, that you don't have the rallies or the meltdowns or things that you usually see because you just, there's not as much pressure there because there's no fans.
Felt like a practice round.
Yeah, it did.
You know, the whole time. And it's like that does, I have to believe that relieves some pressure. I'm not a pro golfer, but I have to believe that relieves a lot of pressure, not having that element in play. So,
well, I would think for some, just like with other sports, some probably benefited and some maybe feed off the crowd normally. And so they weren't as effective as they otherwise would have been.
I'm not saying he needed this to win because we know how talented he is in his prime, but you can't tell me Tiger did not feed off crowds, man.
Sure.
I mean, that guy, when he got going and that crowd was into it, and it was nuts. Man, he felt like he could probably run through a triple brick wall, right? I mean, you could just feel his energy. You could, well, not feel it. You could see it. And just not to have any of that, you know, I definitely think it played a little bit of a factor into it for sure. Nate is on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. He's got a question. What's up?
I kind of thought it was a little strange seeing a decent amount of people at the Masters on the last day. How did that look to y'all, especially since the times we're in? And I know we know that Georgia, basically, they have an I don't care kind of mentality to it. So
what was your question, Nate? I didn't say that again.
How do you think the fans and members at the Masters on the last day, how that kind of looked nationally, how people thought about people actually being there in these times?
I don't think it was. You're asking the perception, essentially.
Yeah, kind of.
I didn't really think much of it because there weren't that many people there.
Right. I mean, it's like everything else we see.
Well, when me and my family noticed that they were there, it was actually a little more than I mean, at least I thought would be there. I didn't think anybody was going to be there. But, I mean, that's just me.
I wonder if they were enhancing some of the claps, too. Because it felt that way sometimes.
It felt like they were.
Did anybody hear birds? Because I didn't.
Guys, Nate, thank you for the phone call. We must break. It looks like we have breaking news. Is this right? I mean, I'm seeing the people reporting it, and these are really, really credible national people. Wow. A very prominent college basketball coach has resigned. We'll tell you who we're talking about on the other side. Once again, that is a radio tease. You're going to want to hear this. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. A little bit over 10 minutes, we'll head up to Baltimore. We'll learn a little bit more about this Ravens team from Gary Stein. He tells it like it is. We'll talk to him about this matchup of 2 6-3 teams on Sunday up there between the Ravens and the Titans. There's breaking news in the college basketball world. We told you yesterday the news out of the college basketball world was they were looking to bubble up in Indy for the NCAA tournament. A lot of things being floated out there on how they will handle the NCAA tournament because it's imperative that they get it in this year. Now, this coming out of Wichita State, their head coach, Greg Marshall, is now their former head coach because Greg Marshall has resigned.
That is crazy.
How about that?
Well, it's been coming for a while. The allegations have been out there for several weeks. And once they once they got out and several of his former players corroborated it, it was just a matter of time. And so I think what this tells me is they've come to a legal settlement because he fought it. He fought it tooth and nail. He denied a lot of the stuff. There were a lot of, you know, I would categorize it as a lot of Bobby Knight kind of mental abuse. Some racist things. There was an allegation of an allegation of a physical one, which he denied. But it's very Bobby Knight-esque, mm-hmm. right? And as we've said many times, in this day and age, what was acceptable even probably 10 or 15 years ago is no longer acceptable, even if you win. And they won a lot, as we know. And just like Bobby Knight, he's going to have plenty of players that swear by him and said he was the best thing that ever happened to them, and they won, and it was all worth it. But there was a group of players that said enough is enough. It wasn't worth the anguish, the mental stress, the mental abuse that he put on a lot of players. And so it was a battle within Wichita in the community, right? He was a fixture there. He stayed there through a lot of years when he was one of the hottest names. But you go back, and there's even an article that's come out about him going back to Winthrop, where he was before Wichita State. And some players came forward and said, yeah, he was like that at Winthrop, too. But they won, right? So it was worth it to a degree. But if you read some of those allegations, it's just like players aren't going to put up with that stuff anymore.
Well, I was going to say, players didn't have the power back then.
Yeah.
When he was at Winthrop, they didn't have the power. Heck, they didn't have the power 5 years ago. They've got the power now.
Yeah, I was about to say, even, you know.
They know they have the power now, and we've seen already football, right, the Florida State incident. I mean, we've seen things student-athletes are doing today that we would have never thought we'd see in our lifetime. Because, first of all, let's just be honest. This stuff, all the stuff that we've talked about, and all this stuff that you just laid out there about Greg Marshall, that's been going on in college athletics forever, right? I mean, all the time that's been going on. But kids didn't have the power. Kids didn't have a platform. Kids didn't have an outlet. And, oh, by the way, don't forget all the scandals that we've had in the past where they didn't have those outlets. They didn't have social media. They didn't have the power. But they at least had people in place they thought at their university that they could go and tell. And we know how that worked, right, over the years, right? Go tell the powers be what's going on, and they're like, yeah, yeah, okay, thanks, yeah. Close the door behind you.
Yeah, sweep it under the rug.
Right? Yeah, sweep it under the rug. Yeah, we're not going to do anything. But today, as you mentioned, all that stuff is out the window. They know it, and, yeah, this stuff, coaches will continue. Coaches that have acted a certain way that is not acceptable in these times, they are all going to get exposed, and it'll probably have this outcome. All of them. And Greg Marshall, I mean, nobody will survive this stuff. We've already seen it. What's a shame to me is that he was given $7.75 million to go away, and that's ridiculous. If all this stuff is true, you know what? Your contract is null and void. You're fired. Your behavior was unacceptable.
That's how I view
you
it.
Do not have the right to do this,
right, but
and we're going to give you almost $8 million to go away?
Well, number one, Wichita State put themselves in that,
I know.
In that position because they looked the other way for all those years. I'm sure they were aware. I mean, don't tell me the athletic director or people from the athletic staff didn't see this happening or hear about this and say, you know, this guy is kind of a, you know, this guy is intense, man. This guy is crossing the line. None of that was going on. So they continued to extend him, and every time somebody came and was interested in him, they gave him a contract extension and a raise. So you get what you get.
Well,
they put themselves in that position, and they don't want to fight the legal battle that would be, I'm sure, very drawn out and lengthy. As Greg Marshall was saying, hey, it's my word against their word. What evidence do you have? All of that stuff. They just wrote the check.
Do you believe? How much do you really believe the people that actually negotiate a contract and sign him up for that, how much do you think they really knew? I don't know. I'm asking. What do you think? You think they really knew all this stuff that was going on?
Well, I don't think they were looking.
Because assistants don't go.
Winning.
You know what I mean? Assistants don't go to the powers of be up top and go, hey, shut the door. Hey, close the window. Hey, my coach is crazy. Right. Coach is crazy. I mean, look, don't tell anybody I said you, but coach is nuts. Listen to this. This is what he. That's not what happens.
So and they were winning.
Do they know?
They were winning.
Right, and they're winning. Right, exactly.
But how much of
if they were losing, I think they would have done that. But they were winning so much, I think it was very hard for, you know, the low people on the totem pole. But I would have to imagine you had to at least – you probably spun it in a different way. Well, he's just intense. You know, he's just really intense. And
exactly. I mean, how much of it was that?
Team, and they did. You know, Wichita State's one of the best coached and more disciplined teams. They've won over the years with a lot of different players, right? They've turned over the roster plenty of times, and they've continued to win to their credit. But at what price? I think we found out.
Yeah, I mean, how much of it is, oh, coach is really intense, you know, but he gets results.
Right.
It's, you know, it's just sometimes, you get him on a bad day or whatever. And the Bobby Knight thing, like you were saying, and that's changed now. I don't think you can have that mentality anymore. And so as more of this comes out, I mean, it ultimately led down this road, and now he's gone. But I think you've seen some of these stories over the last few years and how the players are realizing that we do have a voice. And I think that's a good thing, that they're realizing the power that they have, that they haven't had in a long ever.
And I think we have to make sure that we have a distinction between, you can be a disciplinarian, you can be tough, you can demand a lot of your players. But
nobody's asking
talk
you to be
about
a pillow. Nobody's asking
you
to be as soft as a pillow.
But you can't use racial slurs and some of the stuff that he did. If you believe all the players, and it's not just the allegations of one player, right? There's a lot of players that are corroborating what was said, what was done, and you can't physically abuse the player. And there is a point where it becomes mental abuse. It goes beyond, I'm just trying to toughen up my team. You can do both in this day and age, but you cannot cross the line. There is a difference. So I know there'll be a lot of people that say, we've gone soft as a society, and there's that crew out there. They'll be out there. The old school crowd, hey, we're just not tough anymore. You know, it's not like it was. Well, no, it's not like it was when you were growing up, right? Times evolve. Times change. You have to evolve with the times.
Oh, things don't stay the same forever? Oh, no, they don't. It's good to be a coach. It really is. Because I've always said, nobody should ever feel sorry for these guys when they get fired. And I know this is something totally different, but when we talked yesterday about Will Muschamp, did you guys see the buyout? Because I was just looking at Greg Marshall. He's going to get the Bobby Bonilla check every year. This is spread out over 6 years. So now Greg Marshall is going to go to the mailbox, you know, once a year and be like, oh, sweet.
Oh, it's probably just direct deposit now.
Well, it's true. You're right.
Didn't have to worry about it.
Direct deposit. Did you see Will Muschamp's? How good is it to be Will? Like, do not feel sorry for Will. $270,000 a month for the next 49 months?
Hello.
What?
Must be nice.
$270,000 a month. And then 30 to 31 days later, another $270,000. And then the next 30 to 31 days, another $270,000. You get my drift. And that's over $13 million to go away.
Yeah, he's basically making 10 grand a day.
Now you tell me, in a pandemic how that looks at South Carolina.
How disgusting is that?
Is he still getting paid by Florida?
I don't know.
Well, that was the other part. That was the other part of this. He got a huge buyout in Florida.
Charlie Weiss is the best. He was the mastermind. He is the godfather of buyout checks.
Yeah,
right?
So Charlie is probably sitting there going, "Hey, good job, man. Not bad."
Well, he's like, "Yeah, no, not bad for you, but I'd be a little disappointed because I got like four checks coming in." So, you know, I mean, good for you on your one check a month, but I got like four coming in a month. Gosh,
that's the dream job right there.
Don't feel sorry for these guys. Do not. $270,000 a month for the next 4+ years. Greg Marshall acts like a jackwagon, and he's going to get almost $8 million over 6 years to go away. You've been
a bad boy.
You've been inappropriate. Your actions, we will not tolerate. here's almost 8 million to go away. You go away and you think about what you did. Oh, wow. I'm sure he's learned his lesson. Jeez. All right, we will come back. I'm thoroughly depressed. Somebody give me millions to go away, please. Then I'll have you guys over for a party.
Well, that's nice of you.
A new screened-in porch party.
You can do even more with that screened-in porch.
Oh, if somebody gave me millions to go away, there'd be a beer truck out front, too. and a live band. It would look like Will Ferrell and Snoop. Maybe Will Ferrell and Snoop would be in the backyard. We would have quite the party. All right, we'll come back. We'll head up to Baltimore. Gary Stein will tell us more about this Ravens team. On the other side, Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joints. Smoother than smooth here on this Tuesday morning. Titans and Ravens. A Sunday noon kickoff up in Baltimore, M&T Bank Stadium. Jim Nantz, the A-Crew. Jim Nantz and Tony Romo. Tracy Wolfson working the sidelines. Our buddy Gary Stein is on the line with us. 105.7 The Fan up in Baltimore. Gary, how the heck are you?
Yeah, just like everybody else, making it day to day. What about you guys?
Well, we were just talking about buyouts, and I have just proclaimed on the show, if I could ever get the Will Muschamp buyout that he just received at South Carolina in radio, which would be $270,000 a month for the next 49 months, that I would have quite the party at the house. No one should feel sorry for me. And oh, by the way, Gary, I would fly you down. You're invited.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'll split it with you if you want. I mean, absolutely, I would go for that.
Don't think that buyout's coming anytime soon, but you know what? I'll just keep wishing and hoping. All right, let's talk about these two teams, these two 6-3 teams that right now don't feel good, right? 6-3, if you would have said at the beginning of the season, you would say, okay, weird year, weird offseason, you know, no preseason. Okay, yeah, sure, everybody signs up and feels good about it. Well, both get off to the good start, and both don't feel like they're going the right direction right now. Is that fair to say? At least that's how we feel down here. What say you up there?
Yeah, that's a great point, and I think we feel the same way up here. I mean, you mentioned the record, 6-3. You know, depending on what you guys do in your division, if you win it or not, this is a huge game. Potentially for playoff seeding. It doesn't look like the Ravens are going to win the division. It doesn't look like they're going to be able to be home for the playoffs. But, you know, so, yeah, again, big game for seeding. And I would agree. I think, 6-3 is not a bad record. But the direction that this team is going, the way it's played over the last, really, I would say, month, the injuries that have started to pile up, the weaknesses, the flaws that are starting to become exposed because of those injuries, and also just, you know, how things get exposed over the course of the year, doesn't lend itself to a great feeling right now here in this town.
A lot of people are starting to wonder if the MVP last year and this offense that does not look the same, and Lamar Jackson does not look the same, a lot of people are floating out there that maybe the league is starting to figure him out. Do you buy any of that?
I mean, I buy into it, Darren, to a certain degree. I think that, you know, there's more film on him, obviously. Instead of a team having the ability to prepare for him just 1 week out, they have been able to look at stuff all summer long, you know, and it's a copycat league, and teams adapt. And they saw what Tennessee did to the Ravens last year, and they saw what the Chargers did the year before, and you know, so I think I buy into that a little bit. But at the same time, as you know, football is a team game. It's much more complicated than that. There have been a lot of injuries in key positions that have hindered Lamar's ability to perform. And to be honest with you, I think one of the biggest weaknesses of the team is outside at the wide receiver. You know, we can talk about it, but Marquise Brown and Miles Boykin have not performed well this year. There are reasons for that. We can talk about it. Dez Bryant seems to be a non-factor. Who knows? Maybe he will be for the rest of the year. And so, yeah, I don't think Lamar's getting a lot of support either at the same time that defenses are learning how to play him a little better.
You, have you guys had fans? You're not having fans in the stands, correct?
Well, we're not having fans in the stands this week for the game against Tennessee, but the last couple games we have. But now because of COVID, you know, propelling itself, I guess, for lack of a better term, they've decided to not have fans.
Okay. I've got Marquise Brown on one of my fantasy teams, and I've been thoroughly disappointed with him. Well, you brought him up just now, and you're, like you said, Willie Snead was the target Sunday night in the pouring rain in Foxborough. Why has Hollywood Brown's numbers been way down, in your opinion?
In my opinion, his numbers have been way down for two reasons. Number one, I don't believe he's strong enough to create separation at the line of scrimmage, and I think teams are jamming him and aware of that. Number two, and he's never really been a great route runner. He's always depended on speed. He's always depended on finding cracks in the middle of the field and then getting yards after catch. And that's just not happening right now. I think he needs to develop. He needs to polish his route running skills. And it's different in the NFL. It's much different in the NFL than it is in college. And so what worked in college, it may not work in the NFL, and it's not for him. So I think he needs to get polished in order to become a better receiver in the in the NFL.
Another guy that I took in one of my leagues, Kelsey went, then Kittle went. I was like, all right, I got the – there's been a little run on tight ends. I'll go jump up there and take Mark Andrews. Uh-huh. Kittle's been basically hurt all year, and I'm like, all right, beginning of the year, and that's why I took Mark Andrews. Look how good he looks early on in the year. Well, that was the last time I felt that way. What's happened with Andrews? I kind of feel like he just – he's going the wrong direction. I know they're still targeting him, but it just hasn't felt the same over the last month.
Yeah, no, nothing's felt the same here in Baltimore as far as the football team over the last month. I think, you know, they tried to give over the last month, one of the things they've tried to do is get Boykin and Snead and Marquise Brown more involved in the offense. It's only been successful to a limited degree. So therefore, I think the chances for Andrews to shine, you know, have been diminished a little bit. I wouldn't worry about him, Darren. I think he's going to come back. I think they're going to go to that, go to his route, go to that middle a little bit more over the next few weeks. Plus, the Ravens have a fairly easy schedule coming up, especially down the stretch in December. I don't think this game against Tennessee, I wouldn't include this Tennessee game in that stretch. This is a very difficult game for the Ravens. I do think his production has diminished, but I think it's going to come back.
Gary Stein is with us from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, a longtime friend of the show, and every time these two teams play, we always want to get Gary's perspective on the Ravens. So, Gary, this is always a tough one to answer because, you know, some people are like, ah, come on. You know, this is the NFL. These are professionals. But do you think there's a revenge factor here? And it's always hard to quantify, but just what happened in the playoffs last year, I've got to believe that's in the back of the Ravens' minds.
I've got to agree. I mean, I don't know that it's in the front of their minds because I think professional athletes don't allow that to happen. But absolutely. I think it's human nature to remember. I mean, they're going to look at the tape from last year's game. They're going to be reminded about last year's game. They're going to want to correct the things that needed to be corrected from last year's game. You know, the last thing they want is for Derrick Henry to show up and run for another 200 yards. So, yeah, I think it's there. I think it's human nature. But I think in the front of their minds is definitely going to be looking forward. And that is, what do we have to do on Sunday to win this game? But if look, these guys may be NFL players and they may be thinking on a different level and all that stuff, et cetera. But at the end of the day, they're humans just like everybody else. There's got to be a little bit of a revenge motive in there. And I think it truly is part and parcel of this week.
Well, we know last year in the playoffs, it all started with the way that Derrick Henry was able to run on them. I was looking at the rush defense numbers of the Ravens, and up until Sunday, certainly, you would say this was going to be a really tough game for the Titans, but I think we were all intrigued at how the Patriots were able to run it right at the Ravens, and I don't want to say completely control the game, but they certainly won the game by being able to grind it out with some sort of average offensive players, at least to that point in the season. So what happened on Sunday?
Well, I think they – I mean, I would call the Patriots probably an average offensive team, but I would say that their offensive line is actually one of the top offensive lines in the league. And you combine that with the fact that the Ravens were hurting on the defensive line. I'm not making excuses. Believe me, injuries are part of the game. But when you don't have a Calais Campbell on the field, and you may not have him on Sunday either against Tennessee, when you lose Brandon Williams at the beginning of the game, like second period against New England, that's going to hurt. And the guys that replaced them, rookies, Justin Matabike, Broderick Washington, you know, those aren't guys that you want to be replacing Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams with. So what happened was those guys exposed the Ravens' middle linebackers, inside linebackers, Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison, who are both rookies, both are on the come. However, they're both undersized. When you've got guys like Campbell and Williams protecting those guys and creating lanes for them to shoot through and make plays, that's one thing. But when you've got Matabike and Washington getting manhandled by a good New England offensive line, double-teaming, you know, doubling down on both of those positions, it creates holes. And I think New England had a perfect game plan. They executed it perfectly in adverse conditions, and the Ravens weren't up to the task, you know, period, full stop, bottom line. You know, I'm really worried, to be honest with you, about Tennessee's offensive line and their running back coming in against a depleted Ravens defense at this point.
We're talking Ravens with Gary Stein in Baltimore, and I know that the run game centers around Lamar pretty much, but where are they with J.K. Dobbins right now? Is he about where they thought he would be in his rookie year, or behind or ahead of schedule?
That's a good question. I think they're okay with where J.K. Dobbins is at this point. I think he's actually probably, in terms of usage, a little bit ahead of schedule, and a couple reasons. Number one, Mark Ingram's been hurt. He missed two or three games, came back, was not very effective Sunday night against New England, still probably favoring that ankle a little bit. Conditions weren't good. Second reason, I think Dobbins has that, you know, a little bit of that motor that he can get to the outside a little bit better and make a big play. Having said that, and I may be in the minority here in Baltimore, I don't really know, I've not been extremely impressed with J.K. Dobbins. To be honest with you, I don't think he's been that much of a factor in the pass game. I thought that he would be more of. I know the Ravens talked about him being more of a factor in the passing game. In fact, the Ravens are one of the worst teams in the league when it comes to throwing to their running backs out of the backfield, and that's an issue because when your receivers on the outside aren't getting open and breaking contain, you want more opportunities for your quarterback to dump off and make plays, and those running backs aren't responding. So I think Dobbins, although I'm a little bit disappointed personally in his production, and I don't think he's quite as quick as we had been told that he was, I think he's probably ahead of schedule in terms of his volume and his usage in the Ravens offense.
Gary, of course, this time of year you start playing the, all right, what does this coach need to do to keep his job? Is this seat warm? And you start kind of thinking of ahead of coaching changes around the NFL. What's the shine right now on the coordinators and Greg Roman and Wink Martindale? Are they two that you would consider as potential head coaching candidates in the near future?
Yeah, another good question. I believe so. I think that Greg Roman has developed a brand new, obviously with the talent that he has, developed a brand new identity for the Ravens. As you guys well know, you've been following this thing for years. The Ravens, you know, in their, until Flacco arrived in 2008, so what is that, for about 13 years, they had like 12 or 13 different starting quarterbacks. They were one of the worst offensive teams. They were offensively challenged, even at times under Flacco. In fact, a lot of people would say many times under Flacco, they were offensively challenged. But under Greg Roman and with the ability, obviously, of Lamar Jackson, let's give credit where credit is due, they have totally remade themselves into a very vibrant, versatile, you know, cutting-edge type of offense in the NFL. So, yeah, I think Greg Roman is high up on people's lists. Martindale the same. I mean, Martindale had to take the loss of Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs and Ed Reed and, you know, all Hall of Famers. I mean, we're not talking all pros. We're talking Hall of Famers here, and remake this defense. And he's basically done the same thing that Greg Roman has done on offense with defense. You know, if you look at Lamar Jackson and his ability, you know, I would say Lamar Jackson blitzes the defense, right? Well, Wink Martindale's defense blitzes the opposing offense with all these schemes and angles and different players making plays from different places. So, yeah, I think they're both high on teams' lists for their innovative abilities and their ability to create defenses adapting to their talent.
All right, Gary, we do this every time we talk to you. You love making predictions, so, you know, gambling is legal now in Tennessee. The Ravens are favored by 6.5 on Sunday against the Titans. Who do you like?
Well, I'm not a betting man, so I'll reserve my judgment on the 6.5. But I'm going to tell you, I'm taking Tennessee. I think that Tennessee is not a good opponent for the Ravens right now. I understand that you guys have your own issues as well. I get it. I'm not as familiar with those issues as you are. But I know what the Ravens' issues are. And I think that that type of team that Tennessee is, the mentality of their coach and the demeanor of their quarterback and the style of offense that they play is going to be difficult for the Ravens to contain. I'm going to take the Titans by 4 in this game.
That means the Ravens would be 6-4. Yikes. By the way, the loser of this game, that's what I brought up yesterday, is going to be 6-4. Hard to believe if we would have said that 3 weeks ago. Gary, appreciate the visit as always. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Yep, you got it. Best to you guys.
Gary Stein, same to you. 105.7 The Fan up in Baltimore. Interesting stuff. He says Titans win. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about that on the other side. But right now, I want to talk to you about Week 10 of football is now officially in the books after the Bears' pathetic performance last night on Monday Night Football. No offense. Vikings win. Now it's time to get ready for Week 11. There's no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings Sportsbook. That's America's top-rated sportsbook app. To add the excitement of Week 11, DraftKings Sportsbook is going to bring back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, listen up. Head to the App Store, download it, it's free, and you don't want to miss this because if you go to DraftKings Sportsbook, they're going to give all new users the chance to earn a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 when you sign up using the promo code 1025GAME. DraftKings Sportsbook has endless ways for you to bet, from live betting to betting on your favorite players. They do it all, don't worry. If football isn't your thing, DraftKings is going to give all MMA fans who will sign up right now the chance to triple their winnings for any bet placed on UFC 255. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Once again, download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME. When you sign up, you'll get $1,000. Get up to $1,000. That code, 1025THEGAME, get a deposit bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time only. DraftKings Sportsbook, you must be 21 years of age or older, Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Speaking of that game against the Ravens, Titans fans, Corner Pub is the place for you to check out the game with locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, or the one downtown. Get great beer specials, including $1 off Yazoo and Happen Harry's draft beers, plus Happen Harry's bucket specials. Don't miss Nashville's best pregame show. It'll be at the Corner Pub in Bellevue this Sunday out in Chase's neck of the woods. Join ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll be out there from 9:30 until 11:30 a.m. prior to the kickoff up in Baltimore between the Titans and the Ravens. Of course, that pregame show will have Jarrett Stillman, the GM Floyd Reese, and forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. And that's brought to you by Wholesale Link, powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. You heard me talking about DraftKings going into the break and talking about all this action that they've got for you this week and the promo code to use. We've got some numbers on how many people took
took part in the first, was it the first week of action in our state?
Yeah, the first week. Willie sent us this, but Michael Gallagher of the Nashville Post put out that it's 27 million plus wagered in the first week of Tennessee sports betting. So I would say that
27 million.
Say that's pretty good.
Yeah. I'd say that's really good.
I guess it's good for the house. It's always good for the house, right? The question is it good for how many individuals? So it was interesting. There's some good stuff from Michael here, who, of course, covered the Predators for a long time. He's now covering sports in general in, on the Nashville scene for the Nashville Post here. $27 million in wagers. And, of course, you've got the four major sports books, a lot of which you hear ads for on our show and our station, really, more than one of them advertises here. So you – what we thought would happen has happened, right? Everybody sort of diving in. The payout was an estimated $23.9 million and earned an adjusted gross income of roughly $2.54 million. So the state of Tennessee earned $509,000 in taxes on the $27.4 million wagered. So you see the benefit, right? This is why they legalized it, right? Because there's something in it for the state. And so the Tennessee Lottery, of course, is the official regulator, right, of the industry. And so they've got a quote from Rebecca Paul Hargrove. These numbers are encouraging as we work to protect the consumer, promote fairness in sports, and regulate this new Tennessee industry that provides critical funds for education as well as local governments and problem gambling services. So, you know, they're trying to do this the right way, which is because you know, the argument goes, as we've said for years, right, people are we're gambling anyway, so regulating it and doing it right, that's sort of the Michael Silver argument, so far, it is certainly making an impact.
Not surprised.
But I'm going to keep checking with you guys every day to make sure you guys still have your houses and the cars and shirts.
We're
right
good
now,
right now.
Right now, everything's
so
good,
far,
man.
So good? All right. Okay.
Chase, did you see that flowery shirt, that new flowery shirt Chase has got on today?
Oh, yeah. After my weekend, it's real good.
Oh, look, that smile from earlobe to earlobe is not because Chase just lost that flowery shirt. He just gained it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let me ask you guys this. This is more stats from Michael here. Of the football money wager, the majority obviously is bet on football games. What do you think the breakdown is between college and pro percentage-wise? Bets on college versus bets on pro.
Are you talking about, is this our area or the state?
In Tennessee. State of Tennessee.
I'm going to say 75-25 pro.
75-25 pro. Okay. Jace?
That's probably close to. I'll go 70-30 pro.
Actually, only 60-40 pro.
Oh, wow.
Really?
60% NFL, 40% college.
Huh. Well, I factored in all the college games, the big games that have been, you know, postponed or canceled. And so, every week in college this year, because of that, there hasn't been a ton of really attractive matchups. And I know that, you know, you don't have to have an attractive matchup to gamble on it, but I'm just saying I thought that would factor in. I mean, we just had Alabama. I know this is, you're saying, in week one, Alabama and LSU was just postponed. You know, four SEC games were postponed. Right. And so that affects gambling. So interesting. 60-40. Okay.
I would also like to see this. I would like to see Middle Tennessee and how that breaks down NFL to college as opposed to West Tennessee, East Tennessee.
Yeah, me too.
I bet it's different. Right, when you're not in an NFL market,
correct?
You probably don't. I know what it was like before the Titans got here. We talked college football constantly. We rarely talked NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That's going back a ways now, but I think it's different when you have a team in your market.
Yeah,
you were combing your hair back.
I was.
Shows.
I was. I had a good flow going. Think Roman Yossi. Just for
really,
a few years.
Willie, did you ever have that kind of flow?
Oh, I have. I have photos. I have.
You have proof?
What
yeah.
was the
documentation?
I had a good fro.
In honor of the Preds reverse retro jersey that they came out with yesterday, 1998 inspired, what was the flow like in 1998?
It was starting to go. It was starting to slip. We had some slippage in the fro by 98. And then probably by, you know, mid-2000s, it was hurting. It was hurting. I think it's more of a late 80s, early 90s thing. Still strong. Still going strong at that point.
Flow. That's lettuce. So you're saying 30 plus years ago is when you had the flow.
Yeah, it's been a good 30 years since
I've seen
a
pictures
true
of
flow.
A young Will Donick at Vanderbilt. He had a flow. He had a flow going.
You know, when you're in college, it's kind of you either get the buddy to cut your hair in the bathroom at the end of the hall, right? Which is you take your chances with that. It's not a professional job, or you got to trek it to the barber shop, and sometimes, you know, that's a good walk. And so sometimes I let the flow go way too long. It didn't look good out on the court. It was bad. It needed to be trimmed.
I never trusted my friends in college.
My sophomore year, Charles Mays, he was my man. He did it right.
Good for him, because I did not have the right friends. I didn't trust him. Yeah, no. There was nobody even close that I would trust enough to cut my hair.
The football guys, it might as the community bathroom at the end of the hall, it was barbershop constantly. It was like you just said hi to the guy. Hey guys, how you doing? You just knew they'd be in there most of the time. They had a constant customers coming in there. They were great.
All right, we will start the next hour with Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders. We'll break down some numbers. It's next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.